those school districts are voting it out. And, you know, what'll happen tomorrow, none of us really know. But that's one thing on the plate. You know, and there are many things that happen in our lives. You have a doctor's appointment and you get a diagnosis of something and now you're dealing with that. Or, you know, you have a child that has had an accident and your insurance is going up and circumstances, just dictate that. You find yourself in a place where there's something joyous, a celebration. You didn't know some good news and you know, one of your neighbors or relatives from out west or whatever announced that they're having a baby. And, you know, you got to think about the miles that separate and the joy that comes there. But there's a lot. There's a lot that comes at us that constantly that demands our attention. It demands our attentiveness. It demands that we focus on it. And the more out there that needs our attention, the less we actually are able to focus where we need to focus. And it can be very debilitating and crippling at times as we look at circumstances. That's really the point. The circumstances are what they are. That's not going to change. You know, and it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't really matter. You know, maybe you have a piano recital coming up. You know, you're taking piano for the first year. You're in second grade, but you also have a spelling test on Friday. You know, kids, you guys have the same kind of pull on you that every adult in this room has on them. It just never ever stops. I haven't spoken to him in quite a while about this, but Ross Lindbergh has a friend in the Ukraine that lives in Kiev. And I have no idea if he's been able to contact them about what's going on, but I'm sure that his attention has been drawn to what's going on there. I mean, in a very significant way. So what do we do? How do you stop? How do you prioritize? What is it that's going to give you a break from everything that comes at you all the time? Because it's not going to stop. It's not going to change. 20, 30, 50 years ago, you know, you had ABC, NBC, and CBS. And you dealt with what they gave you. I just gave you a website, and there are people on their iPods right now looking it up. Checking it out. I mean, information and that kind of stuff is just, it's just instantaneous. It's on your Facebook, it's on your Twitter, it's everywhere. They had a news story this past week, some communication app. What was the name of it? Yeah. WhatsApp. And it was bought by Facebook because overseas, you know, it's the fastest growing app and that kind of stuff, and it's free. And so, of course, you know, I went to it and I downloaded it on my phone. I have it now. I can chat with you on WhatsApp. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I don't really want to chat with you on WhatsApp. I really don't, you know. But back about 15 years ago, it was ICQ. And then I guess in our country, it's the Line app, Text Plus. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to know. Kick me. What does that mean to you? Don't you dare kick me. I know there are young people in here that know what that means. What? Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and following. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. It's right there. Right there, front and center, right there, off the top, right there, smack in our face, screaming for us to pay attention to the fact that God gives us his grace in order to see with different eyes. To look at all of the circumstances, everything that comes at us, everything that we experience through a single lens that focuses us sharper than you can possibly imagine. God's grace gives us his grace in order that we can see with different eyes, all of it, just like that. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Doesn't matter what the circumstances were for Paul. He's letting the Philippians know that it doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, he's focusing them where it should be. He's saying that everything that has happened to me, whatever you've heard, whatever you know, whatever you interact with, whatever is going on in the tabloids, whatever is coming across your Twitter feed, whatever is happening to me right now and you know about because you love me, has turned out for the progress of the gospel. So they can take all of that information that's swirling and focus it through the single lens of the progress of the gospel. Everything you and I encounter is exactly the same, no matter what it is. Whether it's an uprising in Kiev, whether it's a diagnosis of a debilitating disease, whether it's suspension from school because your child wore a Duck Dynasty shirt to school. I joked with somebody this past week. It's already happening. People are already being told not to wear Duck Dynasty t-shirts because of what Phil Robertson has said. And in the new law, if it gets passed, that child will be taken out of class without their parents knowing and re-educated. Sound familiar? It's about to change. Get on it. But even those circumstances are happening for what? The progress of the gospel. How is the gospel communicated? Do birds sing it? Do bees pollinate it? Does 10 below? It's communicated through you and I. It's communicated through our lives and through our mouths. St. Francis was wrong. He said, preach the gospel everywhere you go, and if you need to, use words. He was wrong. Well, I'll give St. Francis half credit. He was half right. You and I need to preach the gospel with our lives, our bodies, the way we live. But we also need to speak it because we're the only ones that have it. And Paul says, in his circumstances, brother, I want you to understand that these circumstances have resulted in the progress of the gospel. Follow it through. So that in my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. The palace, I think Haley's version said the palace guard up there in Rome. You see, it isn't armies that make progress. It isn't rebels with Molotov cocktails that make progress and overthrow governments. It's the gospel. Do you remember what John the Baptist said? When questioned about Jesus, he said, I understand that he must increase and I must decrease. John's decreasing was for the progress of the gospel. That is very different thinking than we have in our Western society. You climb the ladder, you get promoted, and that's progress. No, John the Baptist said, he must increase, and I got to go away. People don't need to see me anywhere. That's John 30. And now Paul finds himself in prison for the gospel. Who would think that the mouthpiece of the church at that time, the statesman who was proclaiming the gospel all over the then known world, would think to himself, well, I'm in prison. Gospel shut down. Can't go to Antioch anymore. It's stuck. It's over. It's done. No, it's not what he says. He says, even while I'm here, the progress, why I'm here? Is getting throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. You see, the guard that's attached to me, he gets off at 6 and he goes talks to his buddies that come on at 8 and he lets them know what I've been telling him. What do you think Paul's been telling him? You think Paul's been telling him about, you know, his past glory days and how in high school he threw for 3 touchdowns and won the championship? You think that's what Paul's telling him? I mean, do you think Paul's telling him, you know, I was at this church once and they had this really cool covered dish supper. And man, I tell you what, the lefse there was just outstanding. You got to go to this church for their lefse feed. You think that's what he was telling the Praetorian Guard? No, I think probably what he was telling him about wasn't even about the circumstances as to how he got there. Couldn't care less that he was there. He said, it's about Jesus. Jesus Christ, this man, Jesus, died on the cross for my sins and for yours. Because I know you have struggles. Because you're a man just like I am. And I'm in prison and you're watching me. Boy, I bet you this is a great gig, huh? Bet you your wife's real happy that you're at home here at 3 o'clock in the morning attached to me, some Jew from, you know, outstate, not from here. Jesus died for your struggles. Jesus died for your forgiveness, for your salvation. Who would plan this as part of the progress of the gospel? Is that how you would write the story? If you were given the pen of the future to write your story in the progress, would you come up with that? On March 2nd, Pastor Dennis is hit with a, I'm going to be hit with a restraining order because I said something foolish at release time, and then I went away for a while, and this is going to be for the, who would write that? Nobody. No, what we would write is, well, Pastor Dennis gets noticed by the district on March 2nd, and they elevate him to the of district superintendent. And then as the district superintendent, he gets a national speaking tour. And isn't that how you would write it? That's progress, right? No. No, see, God gives us grace to see things with different eyes. And Paul is right there. It's for the it's in the whole Praetorian Guard. But realistically, the obstacle that is in front of him is what has caused the progress. There are obstacles in our way, just like they were in his. Now, none of us are in prison yet, but there are obstacles, and the law might be one of them. Sorry, guys. Sorry, they're all sitting right there. The Teachers Association, sorry, guys, might be one of them. I don't care. Paul doesn't care. God doesn't care. Realistically, they're there, and they're going to be there, and they're not going to go away. They're going to keep coming. But they're all for the progress of the gospel when we speak it. If we speak it, while we speak it. I don't know what word to use there. As it's being speaked. But they're also there for the encouragement of others. And that most of the brethren, trusting the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Really? If one of you were arrested for preaching the gospel and sent to prison, that would encourage the rest of us to speak all the more boldly? Should. And I have a feeling it will. Because it's been that way throughout Christian history. Every time the government or somebody has persecuted the church, we scatter and we flourish. Every single time, in Scripture and outside of Scripture. Some people even believe that the first persecution that happened in Jerusalem, where everybody kind of got put down and they all went, you know, to the outskirts, to the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, was planned by God for the progress of the gospel. Believe me, we're going to take action. You're going to go on a website. You're going to call whoever it is, Colin Peterson. I don't know. That's how informed I am. I don't even know. That's great. I'm telling you to get informed and I don't even know. And we're not, and it's going to get passed on us anyways. It's going to get passed on us anyways. And we're all doomed, right? No. Maybe this is God's way of finally pricking the evangelical heart here in Minnesota and saying, would you wake up? Would you open your mouth for the gospel? Instead of being Minnesota nice and not offending somebody, please get out there and offend somebody for the gospel's sake. I don't know. Oh, did I? Oh, am I ruffling feathers? Kind of hitting hard. You know why? Because we got a business meeting coming up here. No, that's not why. Because I want you all to be really, no. There's salvation that comes to the Praetorian Guard and there is greater trust in others for speaking the word of God. And so, young people, at school, they're going to tell you to be quiet. They already have. I've heard it. I know. Don't be quiet. Love Jesus. Maybe your mom and dad will have to wrestle with the consequences of your suspension, of your re-education, and making decisions thereof. But God has given you the grace to see through different eyes. And you, whether you like it or not, right now are on the front line. And that breaks my heart. How did we let this happen to our kids? Because they're on the front lines. That's crazy. But God's grace is given to us so we can see through different eyes. Because not only is it for the progress of the gospel and the encouragement of others, but there is absolutely no competition within the body of Christ. There is none. I mean, look at what he says there. He says, I'm in prison, and there are some that are preaching the gospel out of envy and strife, but some out of goodwill. And these ones out of goodwill do it out of love because they know who I am, and they know that I've been appointed for the defense of the gospel. These other ones are preaching it, the early ones, out of envy and strife, so they can cause me more pain in prison because they don't like me. Because I got too popular, because my name got too well known, because too many people are coming to my church, because that's never the focus. And then at the end, he says, I don't care. Let them come. Let them do their damage. As long as the gospel is preached, I don't care who gets the credit. I don't care that I'm in prison. It doesn't matter. Because God's grace has given me the ability to see with different eyes. That's what Paul says. Whether in pretense or in love, whatever it is, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And then the kicker, the real kicker. And in this, I rejoice. Doesn't matter if people pile on and continue to slam you, even brothers and sisters in Christ who don't understand. It's still about the gospel. It's still about Christ. It always has been. It always will be. God has given us the grace to see with different eyes. And so you go into those places with that knowledge and in those circumstances. Now, whether or not in the future we're all going to be homeschoolers, we're all going to quit our jobs, whatever, I don't know. I don't know what God is going to call us all to do. But I do know today we have the opportunity because of his grace to see things with different eyes and can say, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed and rejoice in that. That's God's grace. Freely given. Freely given through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And all of God's children said, amen. Can you tell I'm a little excited? God is good. We come before the Lord together with our prayer and praises. Do you remember that sermon where I slammed the pulpit like 6 times and there's nothing good that dwells in me? Were you here for that one? Yeah. A lovely woman. Can I tell the story? Can I just tell the story? Oh my gosh, it was so funny. I loved hearing this. This was awesome. Bonnie Poissant and Bob were home. Can we shut off the tape? Alex, can we shut off the tape? No, I don't want this known. Now that I've mentioned